so far? Just go ahead and shout it out. Humble. Pardon me? Humble. Humbleness, humility, that's exactly right. What about the second one? The mark of when I'm being now. Love, that's a good answer. Maybe we'll do one on that. How about patience? Patience. So we had humbleness or humility, patience. And then our third one we looked at last 2 weeks was what? Graciousness in our speech. Graciousness in our speech. And I think this idea of a mark of a Christian having graciousness in our speech is something that we can't just cover in just one or two times of meeting here during our Wednesday prayer and Bible study time. So I want us to begin tonight looking at another mark of a Christian, and it's similar to graciousness in our speech, but it's found here in Matthew 12 and verse number 36, and that's simply this: the mark of a Christian, get this now, no idle words. Let's read here in Matthew 12 and verse number 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Let's read it one more time. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening. Lord, we thank you for your love to us. We thank you for your goodness and your graciousness, Lord. We thank you for these wonderful testimonies we have heard, how you have met needs, Lord, and supplied people, Father, with hope and peace and love and joy. So, Father, now I pray as we come to this time of Bible study, I pray, Father, that you would be a help to us, Father. Help every one of us, including myself, to have this new mark of a Christian in our life, and that is this mark of no idle words. So, Father, we do love you. We thank you for your goodness. Challenge us as only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. How many remember back in the early 80s, a man by the name of Bernard Goetz? Anybody remember him? Bernard Goetz. Yep, if you're a news hound, that name might ring a bell to you. And he claimed self-defense and shooting for use just before Christmas in 1984 on the New York subway train. And he was acquitted of all those charges except for possession of a legal weapon. You know, you can't go to New York City and carry any kind of weapon inside there. Even if you have a permit outside for any other state, it's not legal in New York City. So he was acquitted in the pretrial of that of possession of illegal weapons, but a second grand jury was called just a little bit later because of new evidence. You know where that new evidence came from? That new evidence came because Goetz did a lot of interviews, began speaking a lot of different things. And so the prosecutor, who was mad that he got off after the first grand jury, took his evidence that came from Goetz's own mouth and tried him for these four manslaughter charges. And so as I thought about that, you know, how true is that? Oftentimes in our own life as well, is that the only indictment people have against us is not by looking at us, not by seeing us, but by what we say and indicts us. And again, I think it has to do with this idea of having gracious speech. And of course, here in Matthew 12 and verse 36, this idea of having no idle words. President Reagan, when he was in office, as many of the presidents have done since that time, started to have a Saturday little time on the radio, about 10 or 15 minute little speech, and he would just talk to America. As he sat down just to do that, just prior to his Saturday afternoon broadcast, he began to spoke in jest, just kidding around with the reporters that were there and the people that were in the room that day that they were bombing Russia. It's kind of like testing, we're bombing Russia, this is only a test kind of thing, something funny like that. Some reporters took that comment immediately, just left the room, printed in their column. Before long, the entire world knew that that our former president, President Reagan, was telling the world that he was bombing Russia at that very moment. So it kind of reminds me of what the Lord said in Luke chapter 12 in verse number 3. The Bible says, therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ears in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. If you really think about that, that verse in Luke 12 and verse number 3 is so true today, because you might whisper something to a friend, but a week later it's all out at the coffee bar at work. It's at the water cooler, so to speak, and it's in the lunchroom, and it goes around and around and around. And so that which ye have spoken in ears and closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Isn't amazing, if we really think about it, how little regard that we really give to the sins of our speech that comes out of our mouth. Whether we speak about idle words or whether we speak about being graciousness in our speech. You know, if we tell a lie, whether it's a white lie, which is still a lie, guess what? We don't look at them the same as we do adultery, do we? And you can look at an adulterer and you point your finger at them and you go, ooh, there's an adulterer right there, or an adulteress right there. You look at someone and says, oh, there's a liar right there. Like, oh, well, everyone lies, you know. And so the truth of the matter is that we don't put very much regard upon our speech, and any angry word uttered in the heat of moment, or maybe a thoughtless words that are spoken, or maybe a swear word that utters from your lips, or maybe you pass on a little bit of a juicy morsel of gossip about someone or about some place. We don't look at that really as a sin as it really is. And too often we consider these just to be minor. And in a grand scheme of life, we look at them as being minor. And then later we regret what we have said, or maybe what we have passed on. You see, God doesn't really take a very casual attitude towards this sin of our speech, whether it's idle words or whether it's graciousness in our speech. So let's talk about this verse in Matthew 12 and verse number 36 for a few moments tonight. I want to ask you this question. If I were to ask you to define these terms, an idle word, what would your definition be? How would you define an idle word? Now, again, it doesn't have to be the Webster's Dictionary version of it. Maybe it's your own personal thought on it. Speech you don't think about comes out on the spur of the moment. That's good. Brother Henry? Something that has no purpose. Speech that really has no purpose. Yes. Anybody else? Anyone add to it? Yes. Pardon me? Careless speech. Yes, that's good too. What else? Anybody else? Yes, Lynn? I'm sorry. Oh, I shouldn't say, but that's right. I shouldn't tell you this, but that's right. Amen. I appreciate that. And really, I think all four of you hit the nail on the head. An idle word is a word that is spoken without really being thought through. So it's, in other words, something happens and blam, you just blurt it out. You didn't really think about it. Literally, if you were to look up that word idle in the Greek, it literally means this: free from work. Or it means lazy. You say, well, how does that fit in? Well, if you really think about it, we could say that it's speech that takes no thought of thinking beforehand, just like Brother Ed said. And oftentimes, we are guilty of this. We don't even know it as idle words. I used to associate idle words with useless words or words that aren't necessary, but it's not always that. It's words that takes no thought to think about it. We just comes in our mind and comes right out of our mouth. I think about this in James 2 in verse number 20. The Bible says, faith without, what's the word? Do you know it? Works is dead. Or we could say, faith free from works is dead. In 2 Peter 1 in verse number 8, we find these words, that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful. That word barren is translated from the same word that we get that word in Matthew 12, idle from in verse number 20 and 36. So these examples of the word of idle translated different ways in the New Testament, we can get the idea that the word idle could be defined this way as well, that one who hasn't been worked over, or one that is unfruitful. And listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be unfruitful in my speech, and I don't want to appear to be one that hasn't been worked over, thought through the process before I speak. Notice the context here in Matthew 12 in verse number 36. We find in verse number 22 that the Lord had just healed a man. He had been possessed with the devil, and all the people that were around Jesus were all amazed that Jesus could heal that demon-possessed man. But when the Pharisees heard about it and saw what Jesus did, guess what they did? They turned on the Lord, and they responded by accusing Jesus of performing that miracle by the power of Satan. And so we find, right in the middle of this controversy, we have the Pharisees really throwing out an idle charge against Jesus right in the middle of this argument. And we could find that Jesus proved that their point really had no merit and really had no standing against them. Look at verse number 25 of Matthew 12, and verse 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall this his kingdom stand? So we find that Jesus is understood and knew what they were saying. He said, listen, I can't be the devil. How can I cast out the devil if I am the devil? He said, if I could do that, my house would be divided. And if verse 27, if I be Beelzebub, cast out your devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Boy, Jesus goes on for several more verses, and he kind of brings it down to where it is in verse number 34. He says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Boy, we find the Lord doesn't mince any words, and we'll come back to that verse in just a few moments, or perhaps next week. But we find then that Jesus proved that what the accusation, those idle words they made against Jesus, really had no merit. So the warning about idle words is about making statements without thinking through them. Now, how many of us would say, I've done that before, Pastor? I've done that. I spoke words, you know, before I even, as soon as I thought it, I spoke the words. As soon as I did, I thought, oh, man, what did I do? It didn't even take a couple seconds, and I thought, man, I shouldn't have said that. Particularly if you're married or been married before, sometimes, you know, you just say things, and you say it, and you're like, uh-oh. That wasn't good. I shouldn't have said that. There's some pretty idle words in that power I just did. And as you know what I'm talking about, I'm not the only one that has done it in their life. Someone put it this way, be careful not to start your mouth without making sure your brain is engaged. And that's our trouble. As we let our flesh and our emotions well up inside of us and our mouth spews forth, and we don't engage our brain to think through the process. That's what the idle word is. Remember, no work and no process by which we think through things. And you say, well, I'm glad I don't do that. Well, you know what? Let me look at some of your Facebook posts, and I'll tell you if you have idle words or not. I'll tell you whether you've thought through the process or not. And a lot of times, man, the terrible thing about the way we communicate today is all we see is words. We can't see eyeball to eyeball. We can't see facial expressions. We can't see attitude or eyes rolling or eyes not rolling. And so oftentimes we read something, we go, huh, wonder why they texted me that. Well, let me just tell him or her, and we text them right back without thinking through the process. Let me just help you. This is free. It won't cost you nothing. Here's the truth. If you get a text and you look at it and go, what in the world were they saying? Listen, don't text back. I want you to mark it down right now and vow a vow to yourself you're not going to text back. What you're going to do, you're going to open up your contacts and you're going to call them and say, hey, I didn't understand what you just texted me. And if they meant it ugly to you and you kind of call them on in a nice way, they're going to say, oh, I didn't mean, I don't, you know, spell correct it. They'll come up with some reason. But listen, don't just assume the negative. And we do that today. You know, I like texting because I don't have to spend 30 minutes talking to someone. But the truth is, some people text me. Sometimes I text them. And you know, my thought process, texting real fast and thumbs and fingers. And sometimes I'm texting and then sending before I think through what I really want to say. And so if that happens, I know because I'm the pastor, you might not fire back like that, but give me a call and say, hey, pastor, what were you thinking here? Is there something wrong? And then I'll say, well, let me look and see what I said, you know. But listen, just try that. Be careful not to start the mouth without making sure your brain is engaged. Turn to Proverbs 10:19. This front half here. Front half 10:19, back half James 1:19. Back of the church, James 1:19. Front of the church, Proverbs 10:19. Let's look at a couple more verses that I think might help us understand and define correctly what is idle words. So the warning about idle words is about making statements without thinking them through. In the front of the church, Psalm 10:19. Back of the church, Psalm 1:19. All right, and who's in the front of the church would like to read Psalm 10, verse number 19? Pardon me? Oh, Proverbs, I'm sorry. Proverbs 10:19 in the front of the church. All right, Mary? All right. In the multitude of words, they wanteth not sin, but he that reframeth his lips is wise. I said it before, and I'll say it over and over again. Nobody knows how stupid you are until you open your mouth. Amen. You could be amongst rocket scientists or doctors with doctors and doctor degrees, and they won't know anything about you. Just nod your head and say, wow, yeah. Boy, I bet that was wonderful. They won't know how stupid you are until you open your mouth. So you know what? Sometimes the best words that said are the ones that are said and are not spoken. So all right, who would read James 1:19? In the back. All right, Ed, we'll get you next time, Ms. Kay. All right, so as we look at these, James 1 and verse 19, three things. Swift to hear. You know, the truth of the matter is we don't always want to hear swiftly. You say, Pastor, I hear. Well, the trouble is that you think you might hear, but you don't hear the whole story. You don't get the whole big picture, as we talked about last week. And then being slow to speak, being slow to respond. Oftentimes, if I'm thinking through a situation, going to respond to an email or something like that, I go ahead and write it, but I don't send it. And I go back and read it 5 minutes later and say, okay, is this really what I want to portray? Are these words exactly what I want to say? And then it says, slow to wrath. And the trouble is sometimes is that we're not slow to wrath, we're not slow to anger, and that we hear partially something, we're not slow to speak, and we get our anger gets up and we just blurt it out. And that's where idle words come from. So if you apply this verse to your life, we would be a lot better off. Many things I'll get open by mistake. Do you ever open something up by mistake? I've done that before. Dinah had bought something, and I go in the cabinet, and there it is, a box of double-stuffed Oreo cookies, and I say, that looks good. And I get them open, get my glass of milk out, and get two or three dunks in there. She'll say, what are you doing? I said, I'm eating the Oreo cookies with my milk. She'll say, but that's for the dirt cake for the church fellowship. I'm like, uh-oh. Oh, put them back in. Hope you have enough left. You open things by mistake. We all do that. We open things by mistake. But you know what? The most thing that we open by mistake is this, more than anything else, is none other than our mouth. We open it up without really thinking through the process of what we're trying to accomplish. Well, not only now that we know what the definition of an idle word is, let's look at this idea. What is so serious about idle words? You say, well, big deal, Pastor. What's the big deal about idle words? Well, the Bible, the big deal, if we have no other reason, is simply this, because the Bible tells us that we ought not to have idle words, and that ought to be a good enough reason. But I say unto that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Notice, idle words detract from a wonderful gift of God. What is this wonderful gift of God that gets detracted when we speak with idle words? What's that wonderful gift? Wisdom? That's a great answer. What else? Salvation, yes. That's a great answer too. I think it's something more physical than spiritual. What's a what? Your testimony, yes, but I'm thinking physical. Physical. The outward appearance, we're getting close. When we think about the wonderful gift that gets detracted from when we speak idle words. How about this? Think about this now. The wonderful gift of our mouth and the ability to speak. You know, we're the only one on all this planet, in all God's creation, that He has given us the full ability of speech. You know, speech is more than just emitting sounds. You know, the other day it thundered and lightning at my house, and probably at your house as well. You know, it emitted a sound, and the crashing of thunder was there, but you know what? That wasn't full speech. I think about the wind that was blowing through the other day as it came through and pushed my chairs outside on my patio around and made a screeching noise. The wind was howling. And guess what? That wasn't full speech. The idea of speech is an expression of reason. So God has given us this wonderful gift of speech that we can let people know the reason of the hope that lies within us. Man is the only one who's been given this ability. Animals can grunt and they can whine, they can crow, they can do all kinds of things. Birds can sing, but we shouldn't abuse this privilege by uttering idle words. Because God has given us a special gift. Think of it this way. Thomas Edison, of course, was a very famous inventor, and he was being introduced at a local banquet one evening, and the man that was introducing him went to great lengths, really, to praise Edison for inventing the talking machine. So Edison, when he finally got up to the podium where he was going to speak from, he got up and he simply said this: it was God who invented the first talking machine, and that he just invented the first one that could be shut off. Amen. So the truth of the matter is that idle words detract from a wonderful gift that God has given us. And we have this gift of speech. We ought to use it to bring Him honor and glory. But then notice something else. Idle words disclose our true nature. You know, an accent can betray a person's speech. All right, now, when Miss Lynn talks, you know that she's only from one place on this whole planet that people that have that kind of accent come from, none other than Texas, all right? However she says that. Some of you are from the north, some of you are from the south, or some from the west, or up in Boston, Massachusetts, or however they say it up there. The truth of the matter is, who was from there? It was the Apoctakot. Yeah, Apoctakot. There we go. That's it. That's what I was trying to think of. So you think about that, and our accent often reveals our geographic or our national origin. You know, when people come from India and they come to America, you can pointedly pick out that they're from India. If they come from one of the old Slovak nations, you can usually tell they're from Eastern Europe because of the accent that they have when they speak English. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 26 and verse 73. We find a man in the Bible by the name of Peter whose accent gave him away. Who would read that? I think it's Miss Kay. If you can want to read Miss Kay. Matthew 26 and verse 73. Mm-hmm. All right, so we find that Peter's speech gave him away. We don't take time to turn there, but if you're writing notes in Judges 12, verses 5 and 6, you might remember the story of the 42,000 Ephraimites who were slain, and they couldn't hide their identity. They tried to hide who they were, but they were unable to pronounce just one particular word, and they were known not to be able to pronounce this word, so they made them say that word, and when they couldn't say it, they slaughtered him. Now they have, today, you think about, they had the ability to voice print your voice, and it's just as accurate as a fingerprint when it comes to identification. Each person's voice is just as accurate as your iris or as your fingerprint. We think about this. Our speech also does this. It exposes the condition of our heart. Back to Matthew 12 and verse number 34, a verse we already read. The last part of that verse in Matthew 12 and verse 34 says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, I oftentimes said this, what most goes in our heart is what mostly comes out of our heart. If mostly good things go in our heart, guess what? Mostly good things are going to come out of our heart. A murmuring tongue indicates something, a complaining heart. A critical tongue reveals a judging heart. A filthy tongue flows from a dirty heart. And we could just go on and on and on and on. Notice thirdly, idle words do damage to others. Some of the most dangerous things in this whole world are small. Some of you are on the medical field, worked in the medical field. And we have germs and viruses and bacteria, some of the smallest things, chromosomes and DNA structure and all that can be some of the most dangerous things. Let's turn to James chapter 3, then we'll be done. James chapter 3. James chapter number 3. Then we'll almost be done. James chapter 3 and verse number 5. Idle words do damage to other people. All right, who would like to read verse 5? James 3 and verse 5. All right, Miss Vicky, thank you. All right. So what does James writing? What's he writing? What does he say the tongue is? A what? What's his words? Little member, and he boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Look down to verse number 8 of James 3. Who would read verse number 8 of James chapter 3? All right, Miss Gail, thank you. Boy, James is kind of going on here, doesn't he? He says, but the tongue can no man tame. And that's exactly true. We in our flesh cannot tame our tongue. We can't tame our lips. We can't tame the things that we speak. But through the power of the Holy Spirit of God that lives and dwells inside of us, we can tame that. He said it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Here's the truth. Idle words have broken up homes. Idle words have divided families. Idle words have even sent innocent men to prison. I think of my brother and I's cousin. His name is Ed. He was arrested and charged with the murder of a prostitute. Now, he was at the place where the dead prostitute was found, and he was doing something illegal. He was shooting up drugs. But they matched his tire print to his truck, and somebody else said, according to him, had murdered that prostitute and left her for dead. He spent 26 years in prison, and it wasn't until the North Carolina Commission of Innocence got together and they proved without a shadow of doubt. They went to a 7-panel judge, and all 7 judges agreed that he was innocent, and they expunged his record, awarded him a financial settlement. But see, here's what happened. Idle words of another drug informant they had picked up and were going to charge him with felonies of selling drugs said they saw him with that prostitute in his truck. And they had no evidence whatsoever, just a tire track near the body. And no physical evidence except for that. You see, idle words can send people to prison. Idle words have crushed hearts. Idle words, get this, have split churches and sent some people even to an early grave. So we need to be careful about the words that we speak. Idle words do damage to others. We'll pick up with this next week. We'll notice the accountability for idle words. Are we going to be held accountable? Yes, Pastor Dave, we are, because the verse we read already tells us that we're going to be for that. So let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer.